The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. I am John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with me today. Lots of things to get to. And as always, thank you for making us a part of your day today. I don't know if anybody heard about this, but there is some pretty big news going on in the Arkansas Razorback Athletic Department dealing with the basketball team. And some news that we, of course, talked about in depth all this week, even last week. With the early exit for Arkansas basketball, a lot of things were hinging on the return of Daniel Gafford.
You wonder if anyone's heard about this?
Yeah, apparently. Got to remind everybody that we've all been waiting, and of course we've been hearing some things coming from the U of A, but it was held pretty close to the chest. Now, yesterday, I believe it was around probably 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, somewhere in there, it was officially announced that Daniel Gafford will be returning to the University of Arkansas for his sophomore year. And he had a message for Razorback fans that was very short and very sweet.
Yeah, it might be in my future, but Fayetteville, Arkansas is where it's at. I'll be back again for another year playing in Bud Water for you guys. We'll see you.
And in case you couldn't really hear it that well because the video was not recorded, here's a translation.
He is now back!
He is coming back for his sophomore year, and he... I don't know if anyone needed him more than Mike Anderson, is more appreciative than Mike Anderson that he's returning, but this is huge, huge news for the Razorback basketball team. We don't know how much it's going to change them. Does it make them into the NCAA tournament team? Yet to be determined, but it definitely is better having Gafford than not having Gafford.
And there are so many different things that we're going to get into. I saw your buddy yesterday tweet out.
My buddy.
The guy from California.
Oh, Aaron Torres.
Yes, I saw him tweet out, well, this puts Arkansas back into the NCAA tournament, and I'm just looking at him like, man, I need some of that good California medicine that you're on.
You need that Arkansas
right
Kool-Aid is what you need.
man, there are a ton of questions that I have at this point. Congratulations, though, to Mike Anderson and his staff. Because this is the second year in a row, and people talk about their recruiting a lot or lack thereof. This is the second year in a row that they've landed the most important recruits that they could land. Because, you know, over the past couple of seasons, the most important recruits that Mike Anderson has landed was re-recruiting Jalen Barford and Daryl Macon and making sure that those guys come back to school, which those guys are in a very similar position. Jalen Barford, I think he did make himself some more money coming back to school. Daryl Macon, he's in the exact same spot. And then this year, re-recruiting Daniel Gafford, because from the NBA side and from what people were trying to do behind the scenes and everything they were throwing at Daniel Gafford to get him to come out of school, that was very, very impressive what Mike Anderson and this coaching staff was able to do as far as convincing Daniel Gafford to stay in school. But my question would be, though, is he announces this, is he not putting his name in the hat? Like, is he not going to the combine and he's just coming back to school altogether? If Mike Anderson and coaching staff were able to pull that off, then, I mean, they need another raise in an extension. If they were able to convince a kid, don't even go to the combine, which is free, And you can put your name out there. And yeah. I sent out a couple text messages. I just thought about that this morning. And I sent out a couple texts this morning asking, hey, the guy who's been telling me all along and actually called me last night and said, hey, don't ever go against my word. Or don't ever go against what I say. But if he's not even putting his name in the discussion or in the combine to even get feedback, then that is a huge win for Mike Anderson and this coaching staff, because kids can still change their mind. And I feel like keeping him away from the combine is the best thing that the coaching staff can do, because you have to remember, it's coaching staff and Daniel Gafford. They have two different agendas. The coaching staff is here to win games, not put guys in the NBA. Once again, Mike Anderson and his coaches. Now, if you can get guys in the NBA along the way, that's fine. But their priority 1, 2, and 3 is to win basketball games at the University of Arkansas. And kids and families and people out there, don't get it mixed up. Don't get it confused. That is their first priority. They may tell you, hey, well, yeah, it's the well-being of your kid, which I think all of that kind of comes into one. But their first priority, which – and rightfully so. Their first priority is to win basketball games at the University of Arkansas. So their agenda and Daniel Gafford's agenda are going to be two different things. And if they're able to keep it to where he doesn't even go to the combine, then, you know, I think that's a second win this week for the Razorback coaching staff.
What could he learn at the combine? I mean, that you don't already know from studying film, from listening to scouts, from hearing the chatter, and because it's not like he hadn't been evaluated. It's not like he hadn't been watched all season long. It's not like people don't know his game. I mean,
the information though, I don't think is necessarily getting to him or his family directly from the source. I think there are a bunch of people in the middle, and they're saying, well, I heard somebody who said that you're this. Or they're going online and looking at the mock drafts and the different things. And by the way, the people that make the mock drafts, none of them press the button on who's actually going to get drafted and what spot coming up in the draft. So I think by going to the combine, you can just get a lot more feedback, and it doesn't have to travel through as many channels. But now, here's the thing, though. If you're not going to sign an agent, where's that feedback coming to? Who are these scouts telling, okay, this is what a guy needs to work on, or this is how he's going to call the coaches, and he's going to tell Mike Anderson and company, hey, this is what we think about Daniel Gafford. And so then they're going to be delivering the message. So take from that whatever you want, but this is definitely a big win for Mike Anderson and his staff. It does not put Arkansas back in the NCAA tournament. Anybody saying that is an idiot. They just don't know what's going on at all. But if Daniel Gafford does not come back, Mike Anderson has his first losing season.
That was my next point, though. It does help Mike potentially avoid his first ever losing season.
Now, you know, if they still had a losing season next year, I wouldn't be shocked. It wouldn't be like, oh, wow, Daniel Gafford comes back and they have a losing season. But next year without Daniel Gafford, this team for sure was going to have a losing season.
I'm curious to know how the thought process are going to come out and see if we find out why Daniel Gafford chose to go this route. Which, again, if you're a Razorback fan, this is like the most ideal situation where it's not even – he didn't even put his name to go to the combine. He didn't put his name and didn't even declare. Everyone felt like that was coming. That was just 100% true, because who wouldn't?
You were braced for that.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to do that, especially a guy where it's not even like, oh, he's a draftable prospect. Some people had him going first round.
Well, hold on. Everybody had him going first round.
I'm sure there was a blogger that didn't. But yeah, no,
nobody,
I see your point.
As far as if you go talk to every in which nobody's going to be able to do this or whatever, so just take my word for it, I guess. If you go talk to every GM in the NBA, nobody had him in the second round. Everybody had him either in the first round, or they thought, okay, well, maybe he may return back to school, so we're not even going to mess with him. But everybody out there, and I keep telling people this, more people like Daniel Gafford this year than like Trae Young.
So why? I mean, I guess that's my question as a observer and fan. So why is he coming back? If everybody's got you in the first round. and we know what kind of money that is, what are you doing back here?
Who's he talking to? I don't know. I mean,
what is the...
Who's advising him?
But what's the motivation? I mean, you've said this before. We've had this discussion. He really looks up to Bobby Portis. That's someone, right? Bobby's kind of a mentor of his and a player he looks up to. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I mean.
I think you've said that here on this show. Is it a matter of kind of patterning his college career after Bobby? Because maybe I'm wrong, but I think he's a better player right now than Bobby Portis was at this point, and he could go into the NBA as a better player. I don't know who's a better player now after Bobby's had a couple of NBA seasons under his belt,
right.
But he's going to go into professional basketball as a better player than Bobby did coming out of college.
You know,
I think there's a question about that.
As far as looking at it on the surface right now, I think bad information or lack thereof. I've seen things and heard things about he wants to be a top five pick or he wants to be this, that. He's not going to be a top five pick. Especially whenever they pass this rule that high school kids are going to be able to come out, it's going to be 5 to 7 high school kids every year that they take. You know why? Because I'm looking at them play against other high school kids and they're averaging 40 a game. And so at that point, and those guys are younger. And so I've seen.
But there's no other big guys that run the floor like he does. I mean, he's got a skill set that's unique.
It's hard to find anybody else like
him. I mean, that's the one thing he brings to the table is, you know, he won't get you beat in transition like a lot of other big men will because you're always going to be outnumbered.
He does, but
or you have to waste 3 or 4 seconds of the shot clock waiting on your big to get down there so you can set up your offense, whatever offenses they run, you know,
right,
in the NBA.
Right. You know, it's and I almost look at it.
I mean,
like
shot blocking. I mean, there's a lot of guys that can block shots.
Who can block? Right.
But there's a lot of other things he can do that other big guys can't do.
And I agree with that. I almost look at it. It's about expectations, and it's just like in life, if you have high expectations for a salesperson, let's say that you need them to average $15,000 in sales a month, they bring in $10,000, and then another person, you expect them to average $1,500, and they bring in $4,000, you are just jumping up and down at the person that brings in half as much as your top salesperson. The biggest issue is going to be there were no expectations for Daniel Gafford this year. So anything that he did, like if he went out and got 10-8, we were like, wow, Daniel Gafford is amazing. Had a couple dunks. Wow, he's amazing. Because there are no expectations. Next year, people are going to be expecting him to get a lot better over the offseason. People are also going to be expecting him to lead this team back to the NCAA tournament, and he's not going to have help.
Oh, they're going to expect him to be a 20-10 guy.
Yep. Right, and he's not going to have help. And on top of all that,
20-10-5, 20 points, 10 rebounds, 5 blocks a game is what people are going to think.
And on top of all of that, he's going to be doubled throughout the entire season. So the circumstances are going to change. The talent around him is going to change, and now people are going to be expecting a lottery pick performance night in and night out, and that makes a big difference how NBA guys look at you.
And him coming back, obviously the team is going to be better, but it's going to be interesting how he handles the fact that now he's going to be the guy, not Barford, not Macon. Yeah. He's going to be the man. And so how does he take that into the offseason? How does he practice with it? How does he wear it on his shoulders? How is everything going to go through him, and how he handles it is going to be one of the more interesting things this offseason going into this season.
But when you give him the dadgum ball, he may be able to do all those things.
He might be able to.
That was the problem
to.
This year. No one would give him the ball on a consistent basis.
So he may completely own it.
He had to fight for his opportunities.
Yeah,
it's frustrating to watch at times.
Yeah, he may completely own it. 877-377-6963. What do you feel like the expectations are now for the Razorback basketball team next season now that Daniel Gafford is returning to the University of Arkansas? We're going to talk about that and more on the other side of the break. This is the Morning Rush.
This is Toyota Tuesday on the Morning Rush. Get by your local Toyota dealer for a test drive today. Toyota, let's go places.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Download the Morning Rush podcast anytime at hitthatline.com and free on iTunes. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you. Speaking of basketball season and Mike Anderson,
Sassy's Barbecue, the home of Mic'd Up with Mike Anderson, is a great place to watch any sporting event and get great barbecue. There's baseball going on. I guess, hey, is it opening days coming up for baseball?
Yeah,
so that's
the majors.
Yeah, that's
MLB.
A big deal. Yeah, so I know people are going to be into that. That's coming up, I believe, on Thursday. So any sporting event, anytime, anywhere, make sure you go over to Sassy's to check it out. They have some great barbecue, barbecue quesadillas, barbecue nachos, barbecue burgers, barbecue tacos. If you like barbecue with something, I'm sure they will whip it up for you, because I've always been a huge fan of the barbecue nachos. They also have catfish, throwing it in, which you wouldn't think. You know, barbecue place, catfish, that probably wouldn't make sense. But as Nick Mason has said before, it is some of the best catfish you will get from Sassy's Barbecue. And if you want barbecue with it, I'm sure they can whip you up some barbecue sauce to dip it in. And it all happens at Sassy's. Two different locations in Fayetteville, off Weddington, off College, with an awesome patio too, with the weather starting to warm up. I know it's supposed to rain a little bit here, down here in the River Valley, but it'll still be at least warm enough to check out these events.
Good thing at Sassy's, they keep all the sauces right there on the table, so you can choose from which sauce you want.
People like choices. They like options. And at Sassy's, you definitely have it. So, continuing, Daniel Gafford and Arkansas basketball, you know, we were bringing up ticket sales a little bit there. And just, you know, how long it's been since Arkansas has had an over 20,000 attended game at Bud Walton Arena. And I know I haven't been to a lot of places to watch college basketball games. I've been to a few different arenas and checked them out. And I'm sure, Nick, you could probably speak more on this, because you traveled with the team on occasion and you were able to, because, you, I mean, let's be honest, you said how terrible Florida's facilities were when you went down there. And that was during their heyday when they were winning national championships, or at least coming off of those. But, you know, Bud Walton Arena is still one of the coolest places that has aged really well for how old it is, and has been really kept up pretty well. Because what was it, built in 1993, and it was state-of-the-art at the time. And if you think about the quote-unquote renovations that they've done to the arena, it really hasn't been much to make it still into one of those great places. And when you are able to have excitement that comes into that arena, like a Daniel Gafford returning, like playing Kentucky, I hate it's on Tuesdays. I wish it was back in the good old days where it was on Saturdays on CBS every single year, but can't always be winners. When you have that type of excitement and that atmosphere and that electricity, and the amount of times that players and opposing coaches will talk about the atmosphere at Bud Walton Arena, Mike Anderson has done a really good job of getting some of the excitement to be brought back into that building and to make it to where it is truly a home court advantage. Yeah. And now that you'll be able to have a guy like Gafford be able to put butts in the seats, that's going to also help this team out as well.
Yeah, that's ultimately what coaches are judged on. I mean, that's ultimately what got Bielema fired, was no butts in seats.
And zero butts
in seats. And that's ultimately one of the reasons Mike Anderson is very, very safe right now at Arkansas. Lots of butts in seats in Bud Walton. Ultimately, that's what keeps coaches employed, is are you selling tickets? Because that's what moves the financial needle for any athletic department, is ticket sales and TV distribution money. And don't kid yourself. I know you get a lot of money from the league, but ticket sales are still the straw that stirs the drink. I mean, so you still got to sell the tickets. This has got to be a huge shot in the arm for not just winning games, because winning still what brings people out. But, you know, I don't know if Arkansas will have a lot of 17,000, 18,000 person Saturdays, right, but they're going to sell more tickets, obviously, with Daniel Gafford. I think this is going to probably boost 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, you know, on average attendance, 3,000 or 4,000, something like that.
And let me ask you this. When was the last time that Arkansas had a player where going into the season you knew he was capable of being a first-round NBA pick?
And you knew it was his last season. Yeah, your last chance to see him in a full season.
That's right, and you knew it.
You know, well, I think with Bobby Portis, you knew that
he's a five-star.
That he probably was going to leave. But it wasn't like this. It wasn't a thing where Bobby, his freshman year, he's a surefire top 20 pick, and then he turns around and comes back to school. A lot of times it doesn't happen anywhere in the country. I mean, normally if a guy knows that he's in the first round or that he's a top 20 pick, normally that guy always leaves. And just in regards to like the tickets and stuff, people can get on board with a rebuilding process as long as you're semi-winning. People don't like rebuilds where you don't go 500, or people don't like rebuilds to where you're not in the NIT. And I think that that is what was huge for a team like LSU, was they're rebuilding right now and they're getting in all these talented young guys, but they're still in postseason play. And so people still have things to look forward to. So, and with Daniel Gafford, I do think that people are still going to be able, or I do think people are still going to show up, because it's going to be a fun young team and everybody is going to be bought into, okay, well, next year all these guys are going to be a year older and this team will be a lot better. But without Daniel Gafford, I think after the team started off 1-5 or 2-7 or whatever the case may be, I think a lot of people would have checked out at that point, whereas I don't see them starting off that bad this year.
Well, if you think about it, the previous coaches that were at Arkansas basketball, post-Nolan Richardson, they all had their quote-unquote rebuilding years. Now, some of them weren't able to overcome the rebuilding years, but even in Stan Heath in his first couple years, what I think made people excited was, first off, the program was still coming off Nolan Richardson, still at a pretty high point. But it was also guys that came in like Ronnie Brewer that brought in some excitement and some upside. Even though his freshman year they weren't that great, there was a storyline there that got people to want to say, I want to see this. I want to see where it's going. I want to be a part of the building process. And he had an Olufamutimi who didn't pan out, but he was a five-star coming in, and you felt really good about him. And even under John Pelfrey, and he lost all those seniors in his first year, he adds in all these true freshmen, had one of the best recruiting class. You had Fortson, Rodney Clark. You had some guys in there that you're like, there's this excitement factor. You have a great shooter like Rodney. You have a left-handed point guard with a lot of ability to make great passes in Courtney Fortson. You had some guys that were really big down low, Michael Washington. You know, you had some elements to it that made people excited. Even though they didn't have much expectation for him, it at least made people want to be a part of the building process and say, I want to witness this from beginning to end. I want to see this entire movie play out. And you might see that in the same way with Daniel Gafford, where it's no longer just, all right, well, I don't think they're going to be good, so I don't want to see it. It's like, no, you want to go and see this because you want to see what Gafford can do. You want to see what these freshmen are going to be able to do, because if there's some elements that make people excited, that get their attention, where they want to see, say, and go in and say, I want to see this from beginning to end. I want to see the amazing plays. I want to see windmill dunks. I want to see big blocks. I want to see all that in person. That's what's going to help this more than anything, even though they may not be an NCAA tournament team, even though they may not be winning a bunch of games against good opponents, especially even at home. It'll at least be an element that people can get behind and get excited for, to where they want to witness it in person.
And depending on what the football team does this year, it's huge to bring Daniel Gafford back, because that's the one thing that it's tough to stomach, is back-to-back bad seasons from your top two programs. And I don't think that any of us really have a clue how that's going to go. So if that starts to turn, starts to really go down, and we know with two or three games left they're not going to make it to a bowl game or just any of that, it would be very, very depressing to look at a football team that didn't make it to a bowl game and then follow it up with a basketball team that didn't go 500.
I mean, have we ever had a year or going into a fall where we had zero clue about the football or basketball team, of what they're going to look like or what they're going to be? I mean, obviously we make predictions and we'll do that and we'll talk about what we can look like with the schedule and all that. But I mean, you talk about two teams, we have no idea. Football team could go 6-6, they go 3-9.
Yeah.
Basketball team could
10 years ago, probably.
Yeah,
with Pell's all freshman class after he lost all the seniors, and Petrino, that's when he was coming in.
Yeah.
Got the really good in-state class. But even then you had some older guys returning. You had Michael Smith still, you had Casey Dick still, so you still had some kind of clue. Whereas for the basketball and football team, next year is just, I mean,
zero. We don't even know
who's
starting quarterback.
You got Daniel Gafford you got Chad Morris.
Then you had three seasons ago, the baseball team missed postseason, football wasn't up to par, basketball didn't meet it. Yeah, I think that's why it's really important. Baseball kind of meets the expectations before. I mean, if you had that kind of special baseball season and everything clicked and fell into place and this ended up being a team that somehow maybe the stars align and you win the national championship this year, that would at least tide fans over a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's still not going to that's not going to satisfy everybody, because baseball, whether we like it or not, is still on a statewide sport. But
that's right.
This is a hungry fan base that has been looking for a winner in something and hadn't been fed in a while.
It's not until you win a national championship. When you win a national championship, watch how many baseball fans are out there. And, you know, I know people kind of try to say, well, what about track? It's just not as popular of a sport as baseball. But if the baseball team does win a national championship, that will tide everybody over for a year at least.
Yeah.
Because everybody will be on such a high.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes people feel just good about everything. Life is better when... But I've always looked back to like the Petrino years, because everyone talks about, hey, well, what? They lost the Sugar Bowl and won the Cotton Bowl. It's not the biggest deal in the world. Mm-hmm. But it just felt like everything was better. Life yeah. was better. Your job was better. Your family mm-hmm. life was
the
better.
The economy
everything
was better. Everything was better.
Yeah. Even though it may have not been.
Food tasted better. Yes. Beer was colder.
Yeah. Everything was just
everything
great.
Was wonderful. Yeah. yeah.
So maybe that'll happen
The fish
again.
Were bigger. Everything. Speaking of fish, it's been a wonderful weekend at Gaston's White River Resort. And if you're thinking about a summer trip, a late spring trip, you know, Memorial Day weekend, you need to call and get that reservation right now. I was there over the weekend. It was spring break. They were very busy. But as you kind of drove through and went back to the cabin they had us in, I mean, like, they have 80 cabins there. They were all full this last weekend. So you want to get that reservation. People were taking advantage of the last days of their March special with 30% off. Then we went down and we fished on Saturday, fished a little bit on Sunday too for the morning time, and they got great guides. Bob, who was our guide, knows the river, put us right in the honey holes, knew exactly where the big browns were. We wanted to go fish for big browns. The other thing I noticed when you go to Gaston's, and this isn't that way, everything was so clean. I mean, the boat had been pressure washed and cleaned, the towels and everything you need there to wipe your hands and just drinks and sodas and waters, one of them, but they had everything you wanted right there. It was a first class time the whole time at Gaston's, because they attended to every need and every desire you wanted when it came to just the small details. So whether it was, you know, I mean, just taking care of all the small details. So, you know, head to Gaston's for a great time, great meals in their restaurant that overlooks the White River. Great accommodations as well, and the fishing is the star of the show. So if you want to enjoy some great trout fishing, or you've been hearing us talk about it and you want to try it for the first time, now's the perfect time to make that reservation. Gaston's White River Resort, 870-431-5202 to make your reservation for spring or summer right now at Gaston's. Gaston's White River Resort, a first-class time.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the Boys Club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
2 hours down and 1 hour to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio with you today. Thank you for making us a part of your day today.
Did you change your Twitter handle?
I did.
When did you do that?
Yesterday, actually.
Okay.
I felt like it was more about branding, you know?
Because it used to be
Your Neighbor John,
and now it is
Rush John.
John Neighbors.
That's right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm all about the branding.
There you go.
Yeah, I learned a thing or two in radio. I know that branding is important.
It is.
And Nick's Twitter account, he has nothing about his face or his name or anything like that.
A lot of people don't like me, so I
who could not like you, Nick?
I figured that.
Oh, I got to
that. Yeah.
Bring in that file.
Hey. Oh, man.
I don't have enough people here.
Well, see, I figured that that's why it was that way. So, but it's always funny because I'll get, you know, AR Hoops liked your tweet. And then Nick.
Yeah, in the bio on Morning Rush Show, for the show's Twitter account, we just have to put Nick Mason in there. We can't, because no, you know, at AR Hoops is, can't put that in as host of the show.
So. I didn't pay enough money to get that put in.
See, you should have just.
Oh, wait. Hey.
Let's visit about that.
Yeah,
after
yeah, yeah,
that,
see,
hey, that could be worked out.
What I tell you,
and just bottom
like,
line,
just like I told John when he was coming, I said, "Listen, man, Kraft can tell you all this stuff about you need to push this button, push that button, blah blah blah." I said, if you bring in money to the radio station, or you just need to make sure you don't lose money for the radio station, everything else can be figured out.
Yeah. Work through the problems.
Yeah, we work through all that.
Yeah. Well, see, you should have just embraced the villain role of Arkansas. If you're hated so much, like you say.
Yeah, well, and
you just embraced it.
And it's not that. Sometimes, and hey, I completely understand, because there are sometimes you just don't want to hear it. And I understand, hey, listen, I got a fiance. And there are some times where I know I messed up. I just don't want to hear it, though. And there are fans out there that sometimes, hey, let me feel like this recruiting class coming in is great and Daniel Gafford's going to have a lot of help and they're going to make it to the NCAA tournament. And let Mike disappoint me, not you 9 months out from the actual season. And I get it and I understand it. And I feel the same way about a lot of things in my everyday life. And from that, and of course, all the people think that, you know, I signed a contract with Kentucky for Monk to go there as well.
And you got a paycheck from Calipari.
Yes,
he wrote you a check.
I got a paycheck from Calipari. Even though, you know, sponsorships after that happened for things that we do probably dropped off about $50,000. But yeah, I was the one that that pushed the button for him to go that way.
Well, it's just funny because people never forget. And you think that it's not a big deal. Like there was a time, like even last year for the football season, I predicted that the team would go 7-5. Just before the season started, that was my prediction. They didn't. They went 4-8, and guess what happened immediately after they went 4-8? I had somebody tweet at me just be like, "What about that 7-5? Where's that at? You idiot." It's like, the fact that you remembered that I was going.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, seriously. Like it was almost like he was holding on to that to wait till the season officially ended to let me know about it. So, people never forget.
Well, now, they forget the times that you were right, though.
Oh, yeah. They won't give you credit.
They do forget the times that you are right, but if you're wrong, if your sources are wrong or whatever the case may be, they'll never forget.
Yeah. Well, the thing we don't have to worry about being right or wrong about and no longer having to speculate is Daniel Gafford returning for his sophomore year.
And you know, and let me say this too. This recruiting class, once again, it is a great foundation. They have
just not in year one.
They have but it's just like year one, it's going to take these guys all some time to develop. Hey, I hope these guys can all walk in and reach their full potential year one. But if you look at the last two seasons that Arkansas has been able to make it to the NCAA tournament, or look at the three out of the 4 years that Mike has been able to make it, and you look at those teams, and if you compare those teams to what they're going to have on the court next year, all those other guys had already had all their growing pains because they were sophomores and juniors and seniors, transfers, fourth-year juniors, fifth-year seniors, JUCO All-Americans. You're not bringing in any of that.
Yeah.
And so now, if you're telling me that Mike's going to recreate the wheel, and if you look at everything he's done at Arkansas and you look at the teams that he's had success with and the teams that he has not had success with, if you're telling me year eight he's just going to change all that, okay. But I mean, I'm just looking at what he's done over the 7 years, and I'm taking, okay, well, this team matches up similar to this team, and this is how Mike plays, this is how he makes it to the tournament. But I do think that this is a great foundation. I think the coaching staff did a hell of a recruiting job getting Daniel Gafford to come back to school. I know people aren't going to give him credit for that, and people are not going to give him credit for getting Jalen Barford and Daryl Macon back as well, but he needs to have a little credit in those areas too. Congratulations on that. It's just going to take a little time for these guys to, you know, to get adjusted to the college game. And I believe you guys, I think one or two guys probably are going to surprise us, but I mean, they need four or five guys, because even if one or two guys surprises, one or two guys being a freshman surprise with what they have coming back, I still don't know if that's enough in the SEC, because as we look up and down the rosters, and I'll pull this information today and bring it to you tomorrow, I still think that everybody except for one or two teams has more coming back or as much coming back with the better recruiting classes.
Yeah, and then another thing about Mike Anderson's teams is all the teams that he had to go to the NCAA tournament, I can think of only maybe two players that were true freshmen that either played a good amount of minutes or he relied on, and that was Anton Beard in that Bobby Portis year where, I'm not saying they relied on, but he played significant minutes. Anton Beard's a freshman, and this past year with Daniel Gafford. Not a lot of freshmen were involved in Mike's best teams, and that is pretty much why it makes sense. Let's go to the phone lines, 877-377-6963. Robert is in Fort Smith. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, guys. We won't have to worry about a deep run in Omaha if we can't get these road wins under control. And it's not panic time, but it's eyebrow raising time. But you kind of have to look back and go, okay, now, I know that was the number two team, but we didn't do that well out in California either when we're playing good teams.
Lost to Charlotte.
And Isaiah's hurt. You know, so I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts a little bit about that because we talked about it last week.
Yeah. See? Yeah, we're going to talk about some baseball coming up, but you know, playing Memphis tonight and then get ready for a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series ahead of the Easter holiday on Sunday.
Going to Ole Miss.
Yeah. So in an Ole Miss team that's, what was it, 20-3, I think I read yesterday. So, I mean, this
pretty
is
good.
Pretty good baseball team with Ole Miss. So, but that's the SEC. I mean, it's just murderer's row, weekend after weekend after weekend. It seems like it's another top 10 matchup. It's another top 15 matchup. It's another top 5 matchup. So, but no, Robert, you're exactly right. If I have any concern right now, the neutral field slash anything away from Baum Stadium is a little shaky right now. But as Dave said, and you can go to hitthatline.com and hear his comments from yesterday that we've got posted on our website, they got to get some pitching healthy. And I think this team has yet to hit its stride because I don't think we've seen the best out of the pitching staff, even though we've seen some great performances from Blaine Knight. But they're still struggling to figure out number two and three and exactly who that should be. And when they get everybody healthy, then look out. This team could be really lethal.
Yeah, Isaiah Campbell's not even making the trip to Ole Miss this weekend. So,
the thing on Sunday was the timely hit. Didn't have anything so much to do with the pitching. They left too many guys on base.
Simple as that. Take advantage of the opportunity to win the game.
And Dave was very clear about this. Yeah, we should have won the game. He said that after the game. He said that again yesterday. Sunday was a game we should have won. He was mad about it. He's upset about it because he knows what the value of that win on Sunday would have been down the road.
Yeah.
RPI-wise, conference standing-wise. Just, you know, real shot in the arm to have a series win over Florida on your resume.
Yeah, seeing something like that almost reminds me, it's like in football. It's like you get first and goal from the 5-yard line 5 different times, but you only end up with 5 field goals.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you had the opportunity to punch it in to make a difference and to really take advantage of that opportunity, and you were unable to do it. And it's just a frustrating thing, but it's a fixable thing. It's not something that's going to, hopefully not, knock on wood, end up harming them later down the road, but it's something that at least they can build on and they can fix, and then everything can change from there. So,
I agree. I mean, but I don't think we've seen the best from this team yet because I don't think they've been fully healthy.
No way.
But if they keep mashing the baseball, that's the one thing they just didn't do on Sunday. Sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm. And they have the ability to mash the baseball. It's not like we haven't seen it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, being equipped for tomorrow starts right now, and you can buy the New Holland equipment you need at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and in Rogers. 0% financing plus cashback options on tractors, hay, and harvesting equipment. Get by Williams Tractor in Fayetteville or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas on Rogers today and see how much you can save.
We'll be continuing to talk about Daniel Gafford, obviously, because I feel like we had a really good conversation going there as far as Mike Anderson and the type of players that he has had to lean on during his best years. It's not like it's anything different or unique from what other teams have, but having seniors, having experienced guys where you're not having to bring in a bunch of true freshmen and say, all right, 19-year-old kid, You got to go out there. You got to get us 12 points. You have to go out there. You have to lead this team. You have to go out there and make the difference to get us to the NCAA tournament. It's never been that way, and that's not the way the team is built, which, again, goes back to the whole original point of why this team, this next season, even with Daniel Gafford coming back, is going to be hard-pressed to make it back to the NCAA tournament because of you are going to have to rely on guys that have not played on this team before, that have not played college basketball before, that really were just going to their senior prom this past year. And to get those guys, and none of them are 5-star, none of them are NBA lottery picks right now, to be able to have those guys come in as true freshmen and you have to rely on them as much as you are, that's what's going to make it extremely difficult. And that's going to be the problem. 877-377-6963.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.